So I did want to give you an update on curfew. This morning, the countywide curfew did end, but we are going to be under a curfew on Perdido Key until Thursday, September 24th. That curfew on Perdido Key is going to be from 10 p.m. in the evening to 6 a.m. in the morning.
So Perdido Key is the only place in the county that is still under actual curfew. There's a couple of other places where they're kind of patrolling and watching, and because there was a lot of damage and still people displaced out of their homes, but that's the only one that's got an official curfew right now. 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Perdido Key is the home of, well, was the home of Commissioner Doug Underhill, who represents District 2 in Escambia County. Doug, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be with you.
Great to have you on the show. Let's just so people understand, this is not a storm that passed the Underhills by. You guys had massive water damage to your house, right?
Yeah, our house is totaled. Most of our belongings, the kids' stuff is gone. We actually had a boat crash into the side of our house.
Oh my God.
It came from over on Ono Island, I think. So, but yeah, we're pretty much wiped out. But that's part of living on a barrier island. So we will rebuild. It'll always be home.
so you are going to rebuild once the demolition takes place. You're going to rebuild on that same plot.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would live in a pup tent on this lot if I had to.
Wow. That was my impression, was that there was an enormous amount of damage on the island, but it's hard. I mean, I haven't been there, obviously, because, we're not even supposed to unless we're residents. But how bad was the damage to the island?
Pretty bad. I mean, I had never seen the power poles snapped off 20 feet up like the pine trees do when a tornado goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Probably half the power poles on the island were snapped off and laying in the road. We had a couple of spots where the island, the roadbed got eroded, and will have to be repaired. So it was torn up pretty good. I mean, we got the brunt of the, we always know that the northeast sector of the storm is the worst, and it made landfall at Orange Beach, and we are northeast of that. So, we took a pretty bad hit, but, the citizens out here are very resilient people. We choose to live this lifestyle, and with that comes a responsibility of resiliency. And we saw that come out I couldn't be more proud of the citizens of the Southwest sector that I've seen over the last week.
Is the road, you said it is drivable. How long will it take to get the Perdido Key Drive back to kind of status quo ante?
Well, that's an important story, right? Because during the discussion of the Perdido Key road swap that we were told, people were saying, well, it's irresponsible to make that a county road. The county crews will be out there tomorrow to start repairing it. And I can assure you, if it was a state road, it certainly would take much longer than that. So the damage is light, but will be fixed. We actually have power all the way to the state line. We have power out on Inverurie Island. Andrew, I'm going to tell you right now, there's never been a hurricane recovery in our area, even remotely as fast. It's been truly stunning to watch. And it comes down to just a proper orchestration from the EOC, and really being able to bring those, bring the resources to bear.
Yeah, I mean, that was my impression. This was my first major storm that hit. I was not here for Ivan, as you well know. But to have all the power back on in 4 days, to have, water mostly on and the boil notice lifted in 5 days, the roads mostly clear. I mean, I was amazed, honestly. I was thinking it would be a lot longer. And I know there's going to be outliers still, but that for the norm, I found that kind of amazing.
Well, Andrew, I did live out here during Hurricane Ivan, and that was my first storm. And at this point, after Ivan, we were nearly in armed revolt against the sheriff's office because the sheriff didn't really have – I mean, he was basically acting like jacklegging us and basically saying, nobody's allowed to move, nobody's allowed to do anything, couldn't get on the island, we couldn't do our part as citizens. And things got pretty bad there for a while. The sheriff has done a very good job of, we're still maintaining the curfew out here on the island because there's nothing out here. If you're a looky-loo, you don't have any business out here. If you have business out here, the sheriff's office is going to let you out here. So if you're a property owner, if you're part of our helping us get our feet back under us, the sheriff's not going to arrest you for that. He's been very clear about what curfew means. It's just that there's no time right now for the recreational aspects of Perdido Key while we get our lives put back together. And then, of course, it'll be opened up for very quickly for those recreational purposes that everybody enjoys out here.
I assume, but I'm asking because in case of my assumption is wrong, I assume that Inner Rarity Point in the island is roughly in the same situation as Perdido Key. Maybe not quite as bad because it wasn't right up against the Gulf, but how does that area look?
The biggest problem for Inner Rarity Island is that the causeway is too low, and so they get cut off. But that's a part of living on Inner Rarity Island is you have to recognize that, you know, it's going to be 3 or 4 days before you can get off the island if you choose to stay. So there was some flooding. Some of the coastal, the shore houses did get some damage. They were without power for a period of time. They have power already, which is unheard of, post-storm. But one of the significant things about Inner Rarity Island is it's behind a gate. Okay, so it's a private neighborhood,
right.
And so the public resources for cleanup, those are not available on private streets, if you will. So we're going to have to work out some arrangements for them to be able to get some help without stepping over the line with regard to the federal dollars for cleanup.
Yeah, even two gates in one portion where it's behind a gate and then behind the gate to the south, right? It's double gated, so to speak.
Right. That's their rights,
and
it's proper, and but with all rights come responsibilities. But Andrew, I want to talk about those federal dollars because, you know, as of now, we still do not have a federal declaration of a major disaster. Okay, so many of the federal dollars that you expect, or actually that you pay into Washington D.C. all these years, many of those federal dollars are not coming yet. Okay, so a lot of the personal assistance that you get from FEMA not coming yet. The costs of cleaning up all those trees and limbs that are down, that's all on the county and the state right now. We do not have the money coming from Washington, D.C. They really haven't stepped up and called this a major disaster. Now, I was here for Ivan, and I was here for this. There are buildings that survived Ivan that were completely turned into a bunch of matchsticks.
Wow.
So I'm going to ask every single listener to contact your senators, contact Matt Gaetz. Tell them your personal stories. They need your personal stories to advocate for you with the White House to get this major declaration. It's a week after the storm, and there is absolutely no excuse to not have a major declaration from FEMA yet.
Yeah, I keep being surprised that we don't have it yet. Matt told us yesterday that he's been in communication with the president on Sunday, that it's coming. It's just a question of the when and the difficulty of identifying. He said it was the difficulty of identifying water damage versus wind damage. But in any case, hopefully soon, as you say, it's absolutely justified and we have to have it. I have conflicting information about something that is historically a water topic, certainly people's lives affected in your district, and that's the Forest Creek Apartments. When I talked to Janice Gilley last Thursday, the impression I got from her was that things were significantly better than 2014. When I talked to Matt Gaetz yesterday, he gave me the impression that, you know, things were still very, very bad. I've, of course, seen the news report and the pictures of flooding inside of a person's living room, which is always bad. What's the real story at Forest Creek Apartments?
Well, as you know, I mean, Jonathan Owens and I were out in the district. We got out, started checking on things when the winds got down to 45 miles an hour. And Forest Creek is the first place we went. We ended up grabbing my son Brett and a couple of jet skis, and we're helping get people out of there.
Wait, you were rescuing people during the storm on jet skis at Forest Creek?
No. Our first responders were rescuing people.
Okay.
We were there to help in whatever capacity that we could.
Okay.
But our first responders were the ones doing the hard work. I mean, yeah, we were in the water help. I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. We know who the real pros are on that stuff, and that's the first responders. They were, but we were helping them out. And it was certainly a very significant flood event. But keep in mind, we had much more rain in this event in a shorter period of time than we did in 2014. So, some of the units were flooded, no doubt about it. Many were not. And those units are still livable. Keep in mind, we had about 50 homes in Lake Charlene that flooded. And, those folks will be living in, like they did in 2014. With bare concrete floors and the drywall cut out 2 feet up, that's a part of life here. When you live in the low lying areas as I do, and we'll be living with those conditions as well. There are some folks there that do need to be get some assistance in moving because they're on public assistance. But we cannot. If there's any way for a citizen that lives in Forest Creek to stay in their unit, that's the best way for them to live. That's the best place to stay. And you know, so I think that the stories of having these mass relocations, those are just not, they're not based in fact.
So I'm
not aware of any of those units that have been declared non-livable.
Okay, so there was still water for obvious reasons, massive amount of rainfall, but the actual harm, the actual effect was significantly less overall than 2014, and because of the mitigation work that's taken place since then, you think?
Yeah, well, so the floodwaters actually came over Navy Boulevard this time. They did not do that in 2014.
Wow.
I mean, so as Jonathan and I drove through, you know, it was floorboard deep in our Jeep going across Navy Boulevard.
Because of the surge, coming off the Gulf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. You know, it all flows into Bayou Chico, and whatever the height of Bayou Chico is, that's as far as that water is going to go. So, the old Corryfield Road Bridge did flow a lot more water, and it drained a lot faster. That's one of the significant things about this storm, is that Warrington drained a lot faster than it did in 2014. So I'm pretty proud of that. The reality is we live in a very flat coastal area. Storms are always going to be an issue. And you know, as much as we've put a lot of, tried to follow everything that was in the 2014 Stormwater Action Team report, but we're still not investing enough in that kind of infrastructure because it's not, you know, I mean, look at our budget that we're about to have a budget meeting on tonight. There's almost nothing in there for bridges. I think $177,000 for bridges when we need to be spending $9.3 million.
Right.
The reality is we don't put your money where our mouth is with regard to the infrastructure of this county. I think that's a drum I've been beating for a long time, but I'm not sure it's being heard very well.
Well, Commissioner, thanks for the time this morning. Our condolences for you on the loss of your home and the loss of the memories and the things that go with a lot of the possessions, which, of course, affected a lot of the folks in the Southwest. But thank you for the time this morning, and thanks for keeping us informed, as always. Always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
That's my pleasure. Hey, Andrew, we had 20-something people show up to help us tear out the house. Those are the memories that matter, and I'll take that over the pieces of paper and clothes and whatnot that we lost any day.
I love that attitude. Doug Underhill, Commissioner for District 2, southwest of Escambia County, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.